Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, it's
LaMarie Lee.
Yeah, hello. I thought it was LaMarie Lee.
No, it's okay.
LaMarie Lee.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the one. Yeah, it's okay. A lot of people think it's that way too.
people are like, is your legal name Hollerbach? I'm like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, is it?
No, it's Hollerbach.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, like the musician.
Yeah, like Bach, but people would call me like, I've never been introduced by a black person that didn't call me Hollerbach. So it's like, well, that's just what it is now. That's all right.
No, it sounds cooler.
I know, right?
Yeah, I like Hollerbach.
How's it going, man? We met at Waldo Maldonado's, Mike, at the Old Glory six months ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a sweet little boy, and he's got a great mic there. And then you just moved.
Yeah, I moved back to Philadelphia. We've been trying to do this podcast for like a couple months.
Yeah.
And just moved. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let's do it at the Old Glory. And you're like, I move here. I was like, and then we just had scheduling conflict after scheduling conflict. Yeah. But hey, we made it work.
Yes, it's working now.
So where were you living? Were you living in Jersey?
I was living in Jersey City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I lived there for like a year, but I wasn't happy. I was sad. I was sad out there, so I had to move back.
Why'd you get sad in Jersey City?
Because none of my family was close. And it was expensive, and like all the jobs sucked. So it was like doing comedy sucked. It was so hard to do comedy out there because
I know Scott Holt runs a good mic. You ever fuck with Scott Holt?
Yeah, but that's now.
Oh,
like
okay.
Maybe like a year and 2 years later. But like before, when I first got there, it was like maybe like three things, and it was like tough to get stage time.
You go to like McGinley Square Pub with Angela Sharp. She just did the podcast.
Oh yeah, she just started a new mic too, right? Or a new show?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on. She's fucking great, dude.
Yeah,
Angela Sharp is so funny. Yeah. She blows my mind. The
she's
songs,
quite sharp.
Oh my god. Oh, she's the best. She's but yeah, so there's some good people out there now.
No, I mean, it's not that it was just the environment made me sad. It smelled real bad. The food isn't that great.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it was like, the whole thing was like making me sad and I couldn't deal with it anymore.
So Philly's got some beautiful women here. Man. Yeah. I'm walking around Philadelphia, I'm like, what the fuck? They have this weird thing where like, they're all kind of in shape. Like I thought.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now I went to Temple University my freshman year at undergrad and then I transferred to the new school in New York City. But I remember the Philly girls back then, this is 2004, they're all fat, eating like 15 cheese steak sandwiches a day. But now they got some yoga pants on. I was like, God damn.
As people were moving back from New York, I think. People were like,
oh, okay.
Tired of New York shit. I'll just come and be healthy in Philly and live and save a lot more money.
I definitely saw some yoga pants and maybe some LA people. They're getting priced out of LA.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just seems like it's a little more affordable. You can kind of like rise to the top in Philly a little easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I'm impressed.
It's on its way up.
See, also, you know, I lived in North Philadelphia, which is fucking rough as shit and very crime-ridden, you know?
Still kind of rough.
Oh, yeah. I bet. You know, I just remember, like, walking, like, my friend lived, like, two blocks north. Like, he got a little apartment just, like, two blocks north of Temple University. Yeah. And there were literally black people on their porch going, hey, white boy. White boy. I was like, what, me? They're like, get the fuck out the neighborhood. I was like, man, I'm seeing my friend. Like, I was, like, scared to death.
Yeah. Black people do hang out on their porches.
That's not a stereotype. That's real. No, it's just, I'm just saying descriptive. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even say black people, but they were
saying.
White boy,
yeah.
You can't be here because you're white. Like, they literally made it like that. Like, what the fuck? Like, I wasn't trying to talk to him. I'm trying to see my friend.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
No, there's like a, white people are protective over their country, but black people are protective over their street. You know? Like, white people are like, this is my America. And black people are like, Martin Luther King and fucking JFK is my street.
Yeah.
That's my intersection. Yeah.
But that's a black person, a white person, JFK and MLK. Can't we all just get along, man? I mean, can't we coexist here,
not at
man?
This corner.
Motherfucker. That was so scary where it's just like, man, I don't know how to react to this. Like, you know?
No, walking was the right move.
Dude, and I was like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I started, there used to be a club called on South Street, the Laugh House. Yeah. Is that there anymore?
That's no, not it's anymore. Gone.
I remember seeing Kevin Hart drop in. This is like 2004. Yeah. And boy, did he fucking murder.
Yeah.
He murdered so hard. It was like, oh my God. This was like before. Is he from here?
Kevin Hart? Kevin Hart's from here. I think he started at the Laugh House even.
Yeah. So I think he had done like one or two things, but maybe he was back home for Thanksgiving or something and slid in the Laugh House and just murdered so hard. It was like, oh my God. I also, I was 18 then. I was like, I sucked.
So doing comedy a little bit and then just like.
And it was funny because, like, you know, they put me at the end a bunch of times. Like, there's 30 comics on the list. They put me 27th. They put me 30th. And then I bombed and I was like, man, this is unfair. If I played in front of the hot crowd one day, I would kill, right? So then one day I got it in my ass where I told the host, like, hey, man, I signed up first. Like, can you put me up, like, whatever? He's like, I'll put you up fifth. Dude, I ate such shit where I was like.
At the Laugh House.
At the Laugh House. But I was also, like, dumb. Like, I would do new material every time I went there. Like, I didn't really know how to do it. I didn't know how it worked.
No, first time I did the Laugh House, I did it, like 4 years ago, I think, 5 years ago.
When did it close down? Just recently?
Yeah, probably maybe like 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, okay, you shut it down.
Yeah. I was like, no more bombing like this. I bombed real bad. I do, and then like, I got off stage, and then like, the host was roasting me, and I was like, yeah, I deserve this. And then nobody would like look at me while he was roasting me. So I was like, oh, fuck that, dude. I could never.
Brutal.
And then I can't even, like, redeem myself because it's going.
There's
no redemption.
Dude, I remember I lived in Los Angeles, and one of the roast battles I did four roast battles, and one of them I killed real hard. But then other ones, like, I bombed to where, like, Brian Moses, like, kicked me out the back door. Yeah. They were like, yeah, there's no winner. You both are shit. And, dude, I was, like, violently suicidal, like, for, like, 24 hours, like, where it's like, there's nothing I can do. And it's also this thing where it's like in my head, I'm like, okay, I wrote 24 jokes.
Yeah.
I picked four.
Yeah.
If I picked these ones, then I would have done something. Yeah. But for some reason, I try to go hard in the paint. And then they're like, they thought I was an asshole.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's what I was going for. Yeah. But like, there's this fine line before, like, you want the audience to like you in ripping up the other person. So it's this weird line of, like, being likable to the audience, but being a menace to your opponent.
Yep.
So I don't know. It was just...
No, you're right. That's so like hard. It's like a different type of comedy.
Yeah, it's like kickboxing. Like
One of my friends, Sean Gardini, he's doing the comedy cage fight. They're doing a tournament right now, and he's towards the end, and he's like, I only got room for roast jokes. I can't think of regular, like, jokes.
Oh, like, yeah, oh, so dude, it's like stand-up is going down because he's just in that. Well, that's kind of cool. Roast mode.
I mean, yeah, but, like, he wants to be a comedian. Like,
And
there's no, like, unless you're fucking Jeff Ross, there's no route to be a roaster.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Like, and then when you be, like, the thing about roasters are they are good joke writers and stuff, but, like, you don't. Half of comedy is joke writing. The other half is performing. I think. Uh-huh. I don't know.
I feel that.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's good for, like, new material. Like, a lot of comics, you know, they'll write out the same material for years and years, and then in your battle, it's like, you have to write jokes. You have to. So then I think hopefully you can maybe be, like, writing jokes as a battle and then be like, oh, you know what? I can't use that as an insult, but maybe I'll tell it this story and then I'll use that insult from my uncle in the story. Yeah. You know what I mean? In a bit.
Yeah.
So I think it helps. Anything that kind of, I mean, it is comedy. It is stand up.
No, I agree. I don't think it's comedy. I don't know if it's stand up, but it's comedy.
there's something, yeah, it's tricky, but it's a good muscle to have. And then I did recently, there's a local comic called Richard Dweck, and we did a roast with Richard Dweck, and I did great there. I think I'm good at roasts. Like, I know how to, like, build a set.
Yeah.
Like, it's you doing a set. Yeah. Like, I can do that, but, like, a battle, it's like, do one joke, hand the mic. Do one joke, hand the mic. Do one joke. That's a different thing, man. Yeah. Where it's like, you know, I would rather, like, roast somebody for 5 minutes, get a full set in. Because then you could, like, build on the previous joke, build on the previous joke. You know, it's like, I don't know.
No, you're right. Yeah.
It's also terrifying.
Are you talking about
roast battles?
Are you still talking about roasting or in... Okay.
Roast battles are terrifying.
Yeah. Roast battles... But in a regular roast, you get to build a set that can, like...
You know?
Crescendo and...
Yeah, in a roast battle. And I went to school for screenwriting, so it's like I can... Like, a beginning, middle, and end, a twist, and this just screenwriting. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
But when it's like, ba-ba-ba, boom, it's like you say eight words and pass the mic. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah. How do I make these words the most efficient they can be?
Exactly. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about your. When did you start doing stand up? How old are you?
Today I am 29.
Okay. Where did you start? Here?
In Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh, actually, wow. In Amish country.
Yeah, in Amish country. Yeah.
Next to the butter churn?
Yeah. At the Chameleon Club, the Lizard Lounge.
The Lizard Lounge?
Yeah. I think there's a... I'm trying to be like... Nope, just a parking lot. they don't make butter anywhere near there. Just parking lots. Yeah. The Lizard Lounge was cool. I started in, like, 2013, like, May or March. I got fired. I don't remember if I got fired. I think I got fired 2 months after I started comedy.
What job were you doing?
I was doing... I would produce videos, not produce, but like edit videos, make websites, and edit audio for this marketing company.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Business-to-business marketing company. And I would just edit the videos. And then one day, they're like, you don't smile anymore. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, you got to go. And I was like, all right.
What?
Yeah.
What?
They took me to Starbucks. They gave me a letter like, look, man, we love having you here, but you don't smile anymore. And I started smiling. And I'm like, look, you know what's happening. You can't. This is the most we've seen you smile in like months. And I was like, yeah, because I'm getting what I want. You know, like,
smile more.
Yeah.
It's like I'm editing your fucking videos. Mm-hmm. You know,
what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
This guy's talking about polyurethane for 30 minutes. What am I fucking supposed to laugh? Yeah.
That sounds racist to me.
It probably was, but like, I don't care. I got unemployment for a while.
So that was like, you're like, fuck this world, fuck this life, I'm doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. And so then you started at the Lizard Lounge, and that was the first one?
Yep.
And
it went
when'd
okay.
you move to Philly and start doing the Laugh House?
I moved to Philly in like 2017, right?
So you were...
I moved to Philly in 2000.
So for 4 years in Lancaster.
4 years in Lancaster. Yeah. And then I got a job that I could work anywhere from. So I was just like, I'll just move to Philly and then start doing comedy in Philly. And I moved to Philly and a bunch of shit happened. And then like... okay. I moved to Philly. Lived here for 6 months. Then... electricity goes out. I believe this is the time. I'm not sure. Like I was in a car accident first. I was out in Lancaster at this girl's house hanging out, and I got in a car accident. And then my car was out. And then my roommate, he steals our money and the money from a mic he worked at in Philly. And then he, our electricity goes out for like 8 days. So we're just fucking like destitute. We don't know what to do. We just had to wait. And then a week after that, the girl I was going back to see, she died. Just like regularly, yeah.
You gave her that good dick?
Yeah, I killed her with my. Yeah.
How did she die? What was it?
Pancreatitis.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then that summer, I was in Philly and I I did this thing. I don't know. My friend came. You know Andy? Andy Malafarina. He's the red-haired guy with the beard. He's always that. He...
He has a red beard.
He's like kind of, he's like a white guy, big, tall.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, I know who that guy is.
He came to Philly. He did a set once. He did a joke. And some comics didn't like it. So I went online and I said something that caused a real big kerfuffle. And then, yeah, I had to work out of a hole in Philly from then.
Was he your roommate at the time?
Andy? No, he was just my friend. We started together. I was like, oh, dude, you're coming to my city. You do comedy. Everyone will love you. They'll treat you right. No.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you defended him or you threw him shade?
No, I defended him. And my defense was more inflammatory than it needed to be.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, we already decided that we hate that person.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, okay, the girl dies. You move. You move out of there.
Yeah. I lived in Philly. This PPA guy.
I know, man. But, dude, I filled this thing with quarters up to the brim. I even put extra quarters in that thing.
It's only till 8, I think.
I know. So what I'm mad about the meter is I keep putting in quarters. I keep putting in quarters. It says 1524, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, what does 1524 mean?
Yeah.
I think that's like 1 hour or I don't know. It would only go up and that's like, and then it says 2 hour parking here.
Yeah.
And then it's not saying two.
No.
Like something I can figure out. Okay, that means I have 2 hours. It won't accept more. It was saying 15. What the fuck does 15 mean when the fucking sign says 2 hours?
What does 1524 mean?
Like, is that 15 hours and 24 minutes?
Yeah.
But then it would stop. I don't know. And then... Yeah.
It's like a dumb machine.
I feel like it just, like, puts some bullshit up there to be like, oh, pi equals cosine.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're getting a fucking ticket because you got a Jersey plate, cocksucker. That's what it means. You know what I mean? They just say some confusing stuff where it's like, what?
Yeah. Like, sometimes it says no standing. What the fuck is no standing?
You can't stand near it. You'll get loitering, but that's only Wednesdays.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck, man?
Boy, pancreatitis is a motherfucker, huh? So we're inside the grape room in Philadelphia. What's
Maniunk.
The name? Maniunk. This is in Philly?
No, this is like outside Philly.
Maniunk.
Yeah.
It's a nice little, it feels like a little college town.
Right? There should be a college here. I don't know.
There's
if there
nothing
is.
Out here.
Oh, LaSalle.
LaSalle University?
LaSalle is like up that way. Or St. Jude's, one of them. Mm-hmm. One of those like Catholic ones. I don't know.
So, where did you live in Jersey? When?
Oh, Jersey City.
Oh, yeah. And then how, when, it didn't last long there?
No, just like a year. Yeah, okay. I didn't like it. I tried it. Yeah, it was like...
What was the idea to, like, go to Manhattan on the PATH train?
Yeah, because it's close and it would be cheaper. It would cost... It eventually, I figured out, it costs the same to, like, live in New York and go to places in New York as it would if I lived in Jersey and went to places in New York. Like, it's, like, equal, like, the cost.
I don't think so. I think Journal Square is pretty... It just depends. Like, I think if you live in Brooklyn...
Yeah. It's going to cost $10 to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, and like, to get there and home.
Yeah.
Like, and in Jersey City, it's about the same. $10 to get there and get home.
Right.
But you got to take two trains and then, like, or sometimes a bus.
Well, it depends. The PATH has a couple options. So maybe you could just take the PATH and, like, you could walk to Gotham.
Yeah.
You could walk to the Comedy Cellar.
Those Christopher. Spots. But, like, those aren't where mics and shit are. You know?
Mics
are always, like, in the middle of... They're just in random places out there.
Yeah, I'm sort of like holding off. Like, I'm actually gonna drop a special in the summer, and I'm seeing if that kind of breaks me through, then I can earn my spot in Journal Square, and then I can get paid in the proper places. So that's my goal now. It's like you know, I'd rather be an open micer in Jersey than a Manhattan open micer. Because it's just like the cost is like, you know, I don't have a fucking computer science degree,
and there are people who like. You could become a professional micer in New York, which is weird. Like, there are people who make money off of just, like, doing open mics.
For running open mics?
For running open mics and just, like, being at, like, doing, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of promoting little bar shows here and there and stuff like that, yeah. I don't know. I kind of want to, like, it's weird because it's, like, you know, to be a headliner and then also to, like, do five mics a night, I think those are different things. It's, like, if you're always chasing the shows, maybe you're not looking at the bigger picture of, like, where I could get the highest and best use of my night every night, and maybe like chasing a bar show where you have to pay $5 for 5 minutes, like in the grand scheme of things, like maybe you could work on something, but also maybe you could, I don't know, you know, it's a tricky thing. Everyone's trying to do the same. Like whenever I feel like there's 600 salmon trying to jump through the same hole I'm trying to jump through, I'm like, no, there's got to be a way around. There's another hole, dude. There's another stream. I can't be banging my head against this wall with all these motherfuckers to go around. Let me live in New Orleans for 3 years. True story. But yeah, so, you know.
That was part of it. I came back out here. I'm like, it's hard in New York. Why don't I fucking... It was easy in Philly.
And also it's like, you know, in New Orleans, the cool thing about New Orleans is, like, you can drive from one side to the other in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it took me fucking 2 hours to drive to Philadelphia. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not that this is my normal routine, but it's like, it's still like in Jersey, if I want to go to, like, Jersey City, that's like a fucking hour from my house, you know?
Still, yeah.
And then, you know, goddamn, when I was driving over here, my easy pass was like on fire. I'm like, how much is this charge? Every two bridges, they're like, oh, dude, go through the easy pass for this bridge, go through that. What about that bridge?
Yeah.
It's like everyone has a toll, like, hey, give me $5. Like, and the price wasn't even posted anywhere.
No, dude, you have an easy pass, so you don't get this. The toll by mail? That's the bullshit.
Right.
Toll by mail is bullshit.
You know what I started getting? So when I lived in Los Angeles, somebody stole my license plate. And I went to court. I got a police report the day of. Then I even went to court and I won a case of lost wages because I couldn't work while I couldn't drive. Yeah. And so I won a court case against the guy who stole my license plate.
Yeah.
But he was in jail. But he must have given this plate to some other degenerate because every 3 months I get another, like, you know, Hudson County, Texas. Yeah. You know, your license plate
in
was...
In Texas?
Dude, oh, it's in Texas. I was not in Texas. My stolen license plate is going on a crime spree around America. But because it's licensed to me and I updated my stuff to Jersey, now all these municipalities where this derelict is shooting hookers to death and blowing through stop signs, all of his ill deeds are shooting over to my house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, motherfucker, what's this guy up to now? Yeah. You know? The guy who stole it from me, though, the original guy, when I went to court, they're like, oh, he's in this jail.
Yeah.
But he must have handed it into the criminal network.
Yeah.
And now my plate is just out there doing crimes.
Committing crimes.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Dude, are they looking for you?
They're not looking for me. They're just sending me mails. And then I emailed them back, hey, look up this plate. Yeah. It was reported stolen.
Yeah.
And they go, no, it doesn't work like that. See, you owe us $70 for the speeding ticket that we got from a camera speed trap. Oh, if you want to undo that, you have to send us your license, your blood type, your court appearance, your police report, your this, your that.
Is that like easy pass?
It's not. I think Texas doesn't have Easy Pass.
But they have whatever their shit is. They're
like how you were saying, toll by mail.
Yeah.
Whatever the Texas toll by mail is. Yeah. So I guess he's in Texas now.
Yeah.
But I've got some from other states. Like I got one from Nevada. Like I'm thinking he's operating. Yeah. He's operating in this area.
Those sound like criminal areas too. Texas, Nevada. Yeah, yeah. That's where crime happens.
Yeah.
All of America's crime happens in Texas and Nevada.
It is kind of brilliant to steal a license plate because now that everything's electronic, people don't really do investigations anymore. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, it's registered to your car.
Yeah.
Look it up in the computer. Yeah, yeah. That's a stolen plate.
Yeah,
no, you got to send us the police report. We're going to sit in our big old Texas assholes and do zero.
You want me to do all the work for you?
You want me to call a precinct in L.A. to prove you're innocent? No, you owe us $70 for this ticket.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's so, like, passive aggressive.
It's because, like, I feel like, because, like, in law, they were like, the burden of proof is on the person who...
Right.
So, like, one, I feel like they're taking that into, they're like, you gotta prove it to us. And like, no, you're not a fucking, you're not a judge. You're fucking business.
And also, it's like, okay, when a plate is registered stolen in Los Angeles, I feel like it literally is on 4 computers in Los Angeles. Yeah. And then if that guy shoots a hooker in Texas, it's like, unless the Texas people are tipped off to call this number to find out that information, it's not on there. There's no, like, national registry of computers to register all the stolen plates, which is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
That makes it, like, they're like, oh no, send us a police report. I think that's bullshit. Like, they're like, yeah, you're a liar. You're, oh my God. It's like, why do I even leave the house? It's like, you know, you got to go get your car. You got to get it registered. You got to get insurance on it. You got to get a license plate. You got to do this. Oh, my license plate was stolen. Let me report it stolen. You're a liar. Like, I won a court case against the guy. It should, can
it should be the first thing that pops up.
Right. Yeah. Like if the, you know.
Not guilty.
What if they pulled it over? If they pulled the guy over instead of like a camera ticket, which is what I got in the mail. But if they pulled him over, would they find it was stolen?
Yeah. If they pulled him over, they'd be like.
And they ran the plate.
Yeah. License registration. They'd get that. And then they'd be like. Car stolen. Like,
but then why can't they run the plate from the robot instead of sending me the shit?
Because they're not like government shit. They're not a part of the government. They're
Is just that like, a corporate?
That's just a group of people who, it's just a group of people who bought bridges and they're like, you can't use our bridge.
Well, but it's like, I have different plates now. Yeah. So I'm just thinking like, what, you know, they can suck my dick without getting that fucking payment. I don't have immediate plans to go to Texas, so...
You're good.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, that guy stole a plate, and he's living there.
He's in Nevada. He's having a good time.
He's killing people. He's getting his dick sucked. Getting away
with it. So we should probably get
that. Okay, all right. We'll finish it up. We just performed here. What a great venue, man. Everyone was cool.
Yeah, it's a great room. They love they do mics here every
Tuesday.
Except for like the third one or something.
Well, I was looking at the posters, like every Tuesday it has a different host.
Yeah.
So they rotate through the host.
Yep. They do like different themed mics. Like this is Wasting Talent. There's another one called like Joke Gym where they give you topics you do jokes about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is good because it's like, I don't want it. Don't give me a topic. Don't give me my fucking material.
Yeah, you don't have to take the top.
No, okay. It was weird because like one of the comics, like two of my bits, he like riffed off two of my bits and I was just like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
You didn't bring jokes to the table here? But, I don't know. It was fine. It was respectful. He wasn't shitting on me or anything.
No.
It was, it's like, so that guy was talking about this. And it's like, that guy was talking about this. It's like,
just piggybacking.
That's interesting. All right. I can see how you can do that. But piggybacking. But he's just improvising. But, good group of guys. You know, sometimes you go into a scene and there's like cliques.
Yeah.
Or it's like toxic. Yeah. And
dude,
like,
I was just in D.C. and that scene's like, it's not like, they don't really like, it's not conducive to like, getting better because I only went to one mic to be honest. I went to two mics. But the one was like it was
you go to Capital City Labs.
I think that was the one. I'm not sure. It was at like Beer Baron or something. But the thing is, you gotta like, not that you have to buy something, that's fine, but the thing is, you buy something and then whatever the time your receipt says means is your position on the mic. So, like, say you get there at, like, 5 and you buy something and you leave and you come back at 8, you can go first at the mic.
Oh, I see.
And that's not, like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's total bullshit.
Dude, when I filmed my special, I went through D.C. at Capital City Labs.
Yeah.
And the guys who ran it were great. This guy, Charlie Ross, was really great to me. He was hosting the show. He was hilarious. He was a great guy. But it was on Sunday, and... there's, like, this whole, like, bottomless mimosa brunch scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all the bars are going, like, hey, you have brunch here. All the mimosas you want.
Yeah.
So there were these two women who were shit-tarded drunk. Like eating their own assholes. Just, like, drunk out of their fucking mind. And they were heckling every single comic. And then I went up and I go, I had a joke about a police dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, some dogs are trained as dogs. You know, some dogs are just dogs. And then some dogs are like doctors of dogs. Yeah. Like they can search for a bomb or they can do... Right? So I'm just doing a dog material. I'm doing dog material. Yeah, the lady's like, I went to Afghanistan. The dog is smarter than you. Mm. So I go, oh, yeah, the dog material is really offensive. So then I kept doing the next part of the bit. And she's like, I'm like, you know, a dog will probably be doing surgery later as long as there is a squeaky toy. Yeah. So she hits her punchline again. She goes, the dogs are smarter than you. And I was like, you said that already. And then, like, fucking, dude, then she, like, walks on stage, and it was just, like...
Drunk?
Like, the drunk lady who's heckling me then walks on stage.
Ridiculous.
And it was just, like, what the fuck is going on? But, honestly, then they...
Wait, what happened? Did you kick her?
I didn't kick her. I was just, like, what the fuck is going on, you know? Yeah, and then Charlie got up, who was hosting the show, and he kicked them out. He's, like, we're not doing the show until you two leave.
Yeah.
We're not doing the show. And he's like, I'm just going to stand here. And they're like, nah, I can be here. And he's like, no, you can't be. And so then it was like the show stopped until they left. And it was just like, you know, it wasn't their fault. And the venue was great and everything was great. But it was just like, you can't. That was just an accident.
Yeah.
I just think like Sundays are bad in D.C. There's some ladies with a lot of money, you know.
Who could just bullshit. Bottomless mimosas.
Like, my dad's a senator. I'm going to throw up on myself and be able to ruin the show because of privilege. So there was a little bit of that going on. But that, I mean, I don't know. Capital City Labs. Shout them out. They're nice guys. I don't know. But they are like this little group, a little co-op, you know. And maybe if they don't know you, they would be whatever to you.
Yeah. It was just... I just didn't like that. And I asked him, I was like, are there places? And he's like, yeah, there's a lot of places. And I was like, no, that's not how you... Like, even if they should be open, like, stages. It should be open, not, like, to anybody. Like, if it's comedy, anyone trying to do comedy should be able to do comedy.
Do you feel like they were like censoring certain people?
No, it feels the whole system feels inhibitive. The whole receipt system, it feels like it's not good to bring in your best talent.
Yeah, so that's why I was very much like, how does it work here? How does it work here? When should we stand in line? Yeah. When should we do this? And then the host took care of us basically because I was an out of towner. Yeah. But it's like, you know, that's the thing about like whenever I move or do a new scene, it's like. Okay, it's going to take a month until, like, I'm up and running. Because you're going to go to some mics that were discontinued.
Yeah.
But online it says they're still there.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? So there's always, like, levels of bullshit. Or, like, oh, no, you have to apply online on Facebook the week before. Yeah. Like, you know, everyone has their own rules. Everyone has their own fiefdom. Like, no, I run this mic. And that's how I get power boners. Yeah. So you guys can leave. But then these guys are cool. And it's just, like, whatever.
Dude. Yeah.
But,
exactly, that's exactly what it is.
But, that's why it's, like, it's good to have, like, a shaman like you, like, you know, like, Pennsylvania, or, like, Philadelphia, like, if I go to Philly, hey, I'm going to contact you. You know all that shit already. You know what I mean?
I could just, dude, fucking hearsick, the grape room.
No, grape room. Anything else? So what are your goals in stand-up? What do you want to do? You want to make a living doing it? Is that your goal? You want to be a national headliner? Are you doing it for fun? What are you doing, Lemaire?
I don't know. I think... I didn't... okay. I don't know how to answer this, like, honestly.
Okay, so lie to me, bud. Lie to me.
No, because, like, when I first started it, I wanted something else. But then when I kept doing it, I was like, no, this is more fun. And you can make people feel. Like, originally, before, I was one of those people like, oh, stand-up is only, like, laugh. But, like, it's different and it's evolved from that, you know? Like, it's more or less like a... I don't know. It's just different now. You know, it's different than it was, like, when I saw 8 years ago, where you're like, you have to kill every 30 seconds. You have to get laughs. It's not like that anymore. It's like people are willing to wait for good, well-developed punchlines.
Hmm.
And then, like, oh, so I'm not, my goal, I think I want to be a comedian. Like, comedian, like, I want to make a living being a comedian, but I also want to do all the other cool shit comedians get to do. So I'm not going to, like, inhibit myself or stop myself. Like, I just learned inhibit. So I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to, like, limit myself to, like, just being, doing comedy stuff. I'm going to do comedy stuff. But I want the other stuff also.
Like acting in a movie. Yeah. And a sitcom,
all the other, you know, all the stuff. Shit. Yeah. The shit that comes with it. I want that too. Yeah.
Dude, your cave drawing joke is fucking hilarious. Oh,
thank you, dude.
That fucking killed me. I was like, man, that's a smart joke. But I won't ruin the joke. But anyway, that was a great joke. Like,
thank you.
That's like a high level. It's weird where, like, you know, I've been doing stand up for so long. It's like some people have, like, A-level material, you know, and they're, you know, banging it out in open mics for 10, 20 years. Yeah. And it's like, not all, you know, so when I filmed my special, like, when I was in New Orleans, yeah. I filmed some cameos with my friends where I'm like, yo, so Geneva, cool. Do that bit.
Yeah.
Hey, DC, do that bit. Hey, Kyle, do that bit. Hey, Xander Bielek, do this bit. And, because, like, I feel like they don't even know, like, how good, like, that, like, some of their material is, like, world class, and then you see some, like, diamond in a little dive bar, and you're like, bro, if that was your closing bit on your HBO special, it would fucking be epic. Yeah. It's perfect, like, you know? It's weird, like, you know, there's, like, all these waves. There's, like, the internet wave, and there's this wave and that wave. It's like, but some people, like, they've learned from all the 80s comics, 90s comics, 2000s comics, and now they're, like, sitting on those shoulders, and then they can just, like, out of nowhere, you see people where it's like, oh, my God, how do people not know about you know? Yeah. So it's just so exciting. I just love it. I'm, like, obsessed with joke writing.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with
it. It's amazing. Writing. I love joke writing.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't have any. I don't know. I don't really like.
Like you see your peers and you're like, man, that joke is as good as anybody's.
Yeah. That's amazing. There's a lot of jokes I'm jealous of.
There's a lot of them. Yeah, in your peer group.
Yeah, my one friend, he has this joke about how one of my friends, he plays guitar real good, and he makes good comedy music. So that's fucking. That makes me. I'm like, fuck. Damn.
Yeah, like, I don't have any of those
skills. Yeah, I don't have any of those skills. And one of my other, he has this joke about how he bought a used gun. He has a joke before about how he starts stealing groceries, and now he bought a used gun and how it's a lot easier to steal groceries now. He's like, I don't even go into the store. Like, that's what...
That's funny.
Yeah. I'm jealous of their bits.
It's like, it's... But there's even, like, people who, like, there's a guy called Rick Ingram who just filmed, like, a crowd work special. Yeah. But it's like, that guy's been banging out at the store for 20 years at the Comedy Store. Yeah. And he's not known nationally. Yeah. You know, so there's, like, even, like, in your own scene, in your own open mic scene, like, there's amazing people.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's even people that get to work the clubs that don't even leave Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, because they can't sell tickets.
If you work
at
the Comedy Store on a weekend, you're making a living.
Money
split is, that's a good money split.
But I want to, like, do, like, man, if I could get past at the Cellar and the Store. Yeah. I think that's really my goal is, like, I want to be past at the Comedy Store and be past at the Comedy Cellar and tour nationally and do stand-up.
Yeah.
And sell screenplays. And maybe sell some.
You want to do the shit.
I want to do all the shit. I guess I want, like you, I got the same goal. I want to do the shit. What's the shit?
Comedy base. You know the shit.
You know
the shit.
I never want to stop doing stand-up. I think that's a big mistake. Because then people are like doing the sitcom thing. They're in that thing. Then they buy a house. Then their fucking property taxes, $15,000 a year.
I got to stay in the office.
Right. And then it's like, oh, wait, I'm not getting hired for any more sitcoms. Yeah. Oh, I don't know how to do stand-up anymore. Like, touring stand-up is like bread and fucking butter. Yeah. Nobody can fire you, you know?
Yep, own boss. Your own boss.
But then, now it is weird because it's like one tweet can, like, end all that.
Yeah, you know I think that's changing, too. I think that's... Because, like, I think... how long has Twitter been around now? Like, 13 years? 20 years?
No idea,
But, like... people are growing up now.
If Twitter was a girl, it wouldn't even drink. You couldn't put your finger in their pussy. Yeah. Like, it's a young vixen.
I feel like the difference between now and, like, 5 years ago was, like, 5 years ago, people didn't have, like, real trauma. And now all those people who are complaining are growing up and they're getting their trauma. So eventually they're going to be like, all right, we can't judge anyone based off of the shit that they've done before.
Because you think it's going to swing back around?
It always swings back around.
Yeah, that person.
Like, you notice everyone's becoming Christian again?
Right.
Yeah, swinging back around.
And like, sober.
Yeah.
People, yeah, they were just, maybe he's just saying this crazy shit on Twitter because he was finger blasted.
Yeah.
There's this my one friend, Kevin Lytle. One of my friends was like really mad at Kevin Lytle because he was telling a bunch of like homophobic jokes, allegedly. And I called Kevin Lytle because one friend blasted him on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm friends with both of them.
Yeah.
I've done drugs with both of them. Yeah. So I'm like, man, you guys can't argue. Yeah. You both are cool, you know? I'm like, man, Kevin Lytle, he's a dick, but he's not a douche. You could talk to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I talked to Kevin Lytle on the phone, and he went to jail one time, and he was gay raped in jail.
Yeah.
Gay raped in jail. So then I said to my other friend who was blasting him on Facebook, like, yeah, me? I'm just saying, this is a theory. Maybe he says some homophobic material, maybe, because he was gay raped in jail.
Yeah.
So that's got to be somehow into the conversation. Like, that's how he exercises the demon.
That's his trauma.
Of getting fucked in the butt in jail. Like, that's... Then he says gay jokes, like stupid frat guy gay jokes, but it's like, yeah, exactly, you know? Do you have trauma? Do you put weird shit on Twitter?
Not anymore. Wait, I just tweeted, Dear Science, please tell me how to live until I'm 420 years old. That's weird.
Banned. You're banned from there. You're banned from there. You're banned from there. You can't go to Hyperion Laugh Lounge anymore.
No.
Oh, boy. But it's also weird because you also, like, watch people rise and fall. You know, I'm not going to... Like, The Kids in the Hall is, like, one of my favorite shows growing up. And I know some of the members of Kids in the Hall were doing some gigs that were, like, so beneath them and this and that. But it's like, yo, that show was on in the
90s. Yeah.
You might not be able to tour anymore.
Yeah.
And so
it's
you
like
see...
It's like 30 years ago now, right?
Yeah, right. So, like, this Canadian sitcom that I think is, like, the funniest sketch show ever. But, like, if you're not consistently doing stand-up from the moment that show ends to now, you could have an amazing career as a stand-up. But if you don't piggyback that at the right time, it's over.
Yep.
It falls apart like a sparkler in your hand. Yeah. It just turns
and
to
And then
dust.
You
got to
do new material every time, too. Because if you're doing the same show for 30 years, stand-up, people are going to be like, I seen it already.
Even like the fucking Monty Python people, it's like, you know, when I went to see Spamalot, I was like, man, I saw Monty Python, the Holy Grail. Yeah. This is the same shit. Yeah. Like, fuck you guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then they're like, oh, now it's coming out in Blu-ray, so now it's $40 again for the same movie that we did in 72. Yeah. It's like, suck my fucking
dick. I have it on DVD.
Yeah. You guys doing stand-up? Yeah. I'm old piece of shit.
Yeah. John Cleese, you bastard.
No. But Terry Gilliam, like, he just died. So it's like, you know, whatever. But, for a while, like, BBC was playing Monty Python, their old sketches for, like, 30 years.
Yeah.
But those guys can do no wrong. But I don't know.
It's okay, man.
Stand-up is its own skill. If you're not specifically doing that... You know, Eddie Murphy's coming out, and he got $70 million from Netflix
for one special,
right? Now, I was like, I keep saying, like, I'm against this. People are like, what are you talking about? It's Eddie Murphy. It's like, yeah, I don't want to see George Foreman box either.
Yeah.
You know why? Motherfucker hasn't been doing it in 40 years.
But I feel like stand-up is different. Like, you can, if Eddie Murphy at his time was, like, the best at it, and there is, like, sometimes it is like riding a bike for people like Michael Jordan on the Wizards. If he comes back and he's Michael Jordan on the Wizards, he's still a really good comedian.
Right, right. Yeah. I guess it's not athletic, but it's like, are you writing? Yeah. Are you working?
Yeah.
Or are you, like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like, if you're not working the clubs, like.
I think that's what he's going to, he's doing a bunch of, like, he's, I think he's supposed to do a bunch of secret shows before he does like a real.
I mean, he's got to do that for 2 years before he puts it out. If he puts it out in 6 months, it's like, are you out of your mind?
I think if he has, like, it depends on who he has, like, writing with him. Like, I think that also depends on that. If he has, like, he hangs out with Dave Chappelle and like fucking all those people. If he has those people and Chris Rock, if he's help, if they're like helping him, like they probably won't. But like if they like you know like he like if they're helping him solidify the bits, then
that's a good point. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just like, could you instead of giving him $7 million, could you give him 10 and then split up the 60 and help some other motherfucker struggling?
Yeah.
Like I was saying, all those dime pieces at the open mic. Yeah. It's like, man, you know, for $20,000, there's not a lot I wouldn't do sexually to a Netflix executive. Like, Harvey Weinstein, I don't know what you talk. I will never speak of this. I'm never going to see you.
You're giving me a movie?
You're giving me $5,000 cash in a briefcase. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just like, you're giving him 70? Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
He hasn't been doing it. He hasn't showed interest. You're trying to bribe him to do it. It's like, motherfucker, I want to do this shit.
Yeah, don't even give me that much. Yeah, just give me a little.
Yeah. Dude, like a pack of Jolly Ranchers and $400.
For exposure.
Yeah. You know, for free. Put my special on Netflix for free. Now I can tour and make money in clubs.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when it's, you know, I don't know. Do you need any sexual favors or anything?
No,
like
I'm good.
Okay, cool.
I'm
just like for a Jolly Rancher or anything like that?
No, I'm good. I don't have that type of power anyway.
Who said anything about power? All right. This has just gone in the gutter. This has been episode 244 of the Highway Diary Podcast with my man, Le Maire Lee.
Yes.
Any shows you want to plug? You host the show, right?
Yes, I host a podcast. It's called Alt Black. You can listen to that anywhere. ALT-Black. There's a lot of Alt Blacks now, but ours is the best one. It's the one that's very simple. You'll know what I mean. And then second and fourth Friday, Speakeasy Comedy at Callahan's Grill in Philadelphia. It's on South Street. And then every second Wednesday, Grokpot Comedy at Pet Shop in Jersey City. So, yeah, come hang out.
Hell yeah. I'm going to be performing at the Verve in Somerville, New Jersey, February 21st. There's a show 7:30, 9:30, and they may open an 11:30 show. So the Verve, shit, in Somerville, New Jersey with Danny Braff, February 21st, 7:30, 9:30, and maybe 11:30 if you ask nicely at the door. Tickets are $25. And that's it. That's been another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag with my guest, Le Maire Lee.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me here and hosting me and all that stuff. Later.